Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, it's an all-pundit show with Brian Wachter, Senior Vice President of the Retail Association of Nevada, Russell Rowe of the Rowe Law Group, and Amy Tarkanian, former Nevada Republican State Chairwoman, for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Pro Group Management offers workers' comp services to a growing number of industries. As businesses grow and change with the times, the need for a solid workers' comp program must be flexible and up-to-date. The evolving nature of regulations can make staying ahead of complex tasks challenging. But Pro Group Management simplifies the work so your industry can move forward and succeed. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have an all-pundit show going today. We have Russell Rowe of the Rowe Law Group and Brian Wachter, Senior Vice President of the Retail Association of Nevada. So, Brian, I know that you've been dying to talk about the Clark County school district budget. You begin and we'll take it from there.
Well, I was encouraged that the local finance committee decided to add the Clark County School District to the watch list, which now requires them to produce monthly financial documents, all in an effort to make sure that the money that is going to the Clark County School District is being spent appropriately, wisely, and I think most importantly that there is even a structure in place that when the legislature funds the Clark County School District, that they can even bounce back from where they're at now. I mean, I know, Sam, that you know that the ending fund balance is at 0.75 for the Clark County School District now. We'd like them to be 4. Mathematically, it's just not possible. So I was encouraged that the state is taking a more invited role into looking at the budget. I think that's going to be important leading up to the 2019 session.
So, Russell, where do you think this is heading?
Well, first of all, Sam, I'd like to say it's long overdue, right? I mean, this is the second largest budget in the state of Nevada, the Clark County School District. And with all due respect to the members of that board, the trustees, it's been difficult watching how the district's been managed. And we have examples of other public agencies where you have folks on that board who bring experience from different private sector areas that can help manage these kind of budgets. And I think this is a good first step. We'd love to see, I think we, speaking generally from the business community, certainly in Las Vegas, love to see a board that's that at least has some additional expertise in finance and accounting, some other areas to help that board manage the mission that it has.
You know, and it's interesting because Washoe County, not the same situation, but similar in the sense that you're looking at deficits projected out year after year with no end in sight.
Yeah, and that's not good. Right? That's just not good. No, we can do better, and we need to do better.
Well, to Russell's point, I think the leadership of the district is incredibly important. The school district just reappointed the previous president of the school board and allowed her continue her a new term in the school board. And her comments in November after the district lowered the ending fund balance to 0.75% was that she was not losing sleep over the bond rating. Immediately thereafter, within a month, both Moody's and a couple others downgraded the Clark County School District's bond rating. So I kind of wish she had lost a little bit of sleep on it. It wasn't until the local finance committee put the district back on the watch list that Moody's upgraded our credit rating back to positive, thinking that the initial steps and this new process is going to add some transparency and some, I think, confidence to this process. And so I think that's important. And so though when we have these kind of leaders that don't understand the ramifications that, yes, it's an education issue, but it's also a budget issue, if we don't solve that budget, you know, the structural side, it's not going to matter what we want to do in education. We need these guys to start losing sleep over the budget.
Well, the other thing, too, is when you look at the search for a new superintendent, and the first thing that the committee has done is raise the salary on that position. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me when you're trying to convince the population that you're doing the right thing in terms of directing the money at the students rather than the management.
Yeah, I mean, I can see where when you're looking at salaries and you're trying to bring in and attract high quality candidates for the fifth largest school district in the country, I can understand the need to make sure you're competitive. I've heard anecdotally that there's four of the top five school districts largest in the country are currently searching for their superintendent. So it's not a great time to be doing this. So it's going to be more competitive. But I think what really impresses me just listening to Brian and his organization, steps the Las Vegas Chamber is taking, LVGEA and other private sector organizations to really involve themselves in our K-12 system, to bring potential solutions, offer their guidance and help, and to be critical when they need to. And I think that's really healthy. Really healthy for Southern Nevada.
Okay, you get the last word on this, Brian.
No, I think we need, from the school district, I get the bad optics when you go through a budget deficit. But I think if you understood more of the background about the context of why the budget deficit happened, the two are relatively unrelated. I think it's time that if we want to be a district that can encourage talent that is better suited at the 300,000 range instead of the 240,000 range, that we make that investment. Let's hire the talent where we want to be and not the talent that we think we can afford or that we can attract. And I think that'll go a long way to setting a new tone at the district.
All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back on our All Pundit Show after this.
I'm Paul Enos, CEO of the Nevada Trucking Association. Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're on an all-pundit show here. We have Russell Rowe of the Rowe Law Group and Brian Wachter, Senior Vice President of the Retail Association of Nevada. So, Russell, it was interesting to see the Lucky Dragon going into bankruptcy. What does this say to you about, you know, smaller properties who are trying to compete? Because you've got SLS being taken over by the Morello Group out of Reno. Are they going to face the same kind of issues, or was this just a one-off deal where they just missed their target?
I think it's more they missed their target. You know, there aren't many small operators that are going to operate on or near the Strip and be successful, and especially going after high-roller Asian gamblers. I mean, for a small property like that, just off the Strip, at the north end of the Strip, I mean, it's really a stretch. It's a lot to ask of their customers that they're trying to attract. You know, it's interesting because they went before the city council seeking tax subsidies for the development of their property because it was in a redevelopment area. And all of the other gaming properties, mostly the downtown gaming properties, the smaller operators came out and said, "This is ridiculous, right? And we don't support this, but if you're going to do it, we're getting in line right behind them."
Right.
So, you know, thankfully the city council and their great wisdom turn them down. But I think this is more a situation of not hitting the mark in the market.
And it's surprising with somebody as knowledgeable as Bill Widener being a part of the ownership that they weren't able to, you know, once they saw it wasn't working, to back away and go, okay, what should work? Maybe we should advertise and really get everybody to come in and eat great Asian food as well as the gaming. I was speaking to a gaming analyst this week, Brian, and talking about Wynn Properties and, you know, the potential that the stock price goes down, that the same thing could happen that happened before with Mirage Resorts, which is somebody comes in and buys it. And they were saying that they thought that potentially you could see individual properties or pairs of properties being bought up, but not the whole thing. Who do you think might be out there that would be looking to, say, take Wynn and Wynn Encore or Boston or Macau individually?
Well, I think that kind of jumps the gun a little bit, Sam. I think we need to give Wynn time to Wynn Resorts, that is. I think we need to give Wynn Resorts time to see where their footing's at, see where they're at. They've just installed a new interim president or chair. I can't remember the exact title.
He's president and CEO. I think he's got the job. He was apparently in the line of succession going back several years.
Well, and I think one of the points that I think doesn't get brought up enough is that Mr. Wynn was aging. I think any company should have a smart succession plan. There was going to be a time where Mr. Wynn wasn't in charge of Wynn Resorts. And so I think, yes, it might have come about unexpectedly or at least much quicker than maybe folks had anticipated. But I think it's a little bit quick to just decide the company is over and isn't able to continue their production. I don't believe they've canceled the plans that they had for...
They're moving ahead.
So I think we should give the new chairman, president, a chance to right the ship. I think if they look within their own ranks, if they figure out where the particular problems that led to this issue are, and they do a good job fixing it, then I know I'll stay a customer at Wynn Resorts. And I think it's just fair to give them a chance to do that.
Ressa?
Well, to your initial question about who might come in and buy them, you know, if you look at a lot of the operators on the Strip and some of the other operators outside of Nevada, none of them are really well positioned to come in and buy Wynn Resorts. I almost said Mirage Resorts, so going back some time. But there, you know, maybe some of the private equity firms. I believe Cosmopolitan is owned by Blackstone. A private equity firm.
Yeah, Blackstone.
You know, yeah. So possibly one of those companies, which I don't think would be good news, to Brian's point, wouldn't be good news for Las Vegas, you know, because they come in and they're going to sell off the assets. They'll divide up the hotels. They'll sell the Macau resort. Maybe they keep the Macau resort and sell off the Las Vegas properties, which I don't think would be good. I think it's best for Las Vegas to keep the Wynn brand and keep it moving forward.
What are your thoughts on just, you know, what the gaming industry in Las Vegas on the Strip is dealing with all these reports about, you know, Steve Wynn over the decades. But a lot of people saying this kind of thing has been going on forever.
It's a sticky situation. Look, as an attorney, you know, if there's anyone within the board or the executive officers had knowledge of activity or payoffs that were occurring, particularly with corporate funds, I mean, those are serious issues. Those are serious issues outside of the gaming umbrella. They're very serious within gaming. And then you have the additional challenges where it's not just the Nevada Gaming Control Board looking at it. There was a time where there was only the Nevada Gaming Control Board, and now you have you know, their equivalent in Massachusetts. That could take action. That'll put pressure on the GCB as well. And you have a new chair who has her hands full right now.
Let me ask you this, just a brief answer to this, if you would. Is there a limit on how much stock you can own if you're facing these kind of charges?
Off the top of my head, I don't think there is.
Divest your stock?
I think there are laws about divesting. I believe he can't divest at the moment. And I believe there's, and I don't know entirely, but I believe the SEC rules, when you're in this particular situation, they prohibit you from automatically dumping your stock or completely getting rid of it. So I think like I said, wrong, but I believe that that's, you know, so even if he wanted to completely sell right now, I believe legally, I don't believe that's an option.
All right, that's where we got to leave it. Thank you both very much. Brian, you're going to stick around. Amy Tarkanian is going to join us, and we'll be right back.
Looking forward to it.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature build-your-own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big-screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our All Pundit show. And we're joined by Amy Tarkanian, former Nevada Republican state chairwoman. And Brian Wachter is still hanging around. We're glad for that. He's the senior vice president for the Retail Association of Nevada. So, Amy, you went to, I think, every single Lincoln Day event that it was possible to go to over the last week or so. What's the feeling in rural Nevada?
Well, you know, actually, this is the first Lincoln Day dinner circuit that I have not attended most of. This was the first weekend that I did the actual circuit. So my first one was Washoe, and Danny and I attended that one. The candidates were not allowed to speak at that one, but that's where we had Dinesh D'Souza as the guest speaker, and I enjoyed him thoroughly. Even though he's controversial, and they sold out. So it was an excellent crowd. Danny was very well received. The Hellers, they showed up late to everything and they left early from everything. So people noticed that and they were real happy to see Danny and I, and Danny had a really great reception in Washoe. Now, the next one we went to was in Story County. That was a brunch. Once again, sold out. It was in Virginia City. I always love an excuse to get up there. And once again, Dean showed up late and he left early and he had his little entourage with him. He's got this paparazzi that follow him around, his paid staff. And they made a little video and he had posted on Twitter something about, oh, it was so great to talk to all the people of Story County. The two people he had in that video, one was his paid staffer, Elliot. The other one was a gentleman by the name of Tom, and I won't say his last name, but he is a supporter of Danny's. And then they just had pictures of some of the buildings and nothing at all of him talking to the people in Story County. We went and spoke to some of the business owners up there, and they were very energetic, super excited to speak with Danny, said that they hadn't seen Senator Heller in years, were very disappointed in him and finding out that he had been there and not stopped by to say hello. So once again, Danny is doing very well in Story. And then after that, we had Carson City, where Danny, once again, I mean, everywhere we go, we are so happy to hear that you're running. We're tired of Dean. Dean has lied to us. Dean has disappointed us. And then the very last one was in Douglas, and that's in Dean's backyard. And he didn't even show up to that one. That's one where we had Sheriff Arpaio as the guest speaker. And of course, there were protesters because he's another controversial figure. But I enjoyed listening to him speak, and it was wall-to-wall people. I'm surprised that the fire marshal didn't shut it down, to be honest. But he had a great reception, and that should have been an area where Dean should have it locked down solid, and he doesn't.
Brian, the thing that pops into my mind is that, you know, Danny has been a very strong supporter of Donald Trump all the way before he was president. Now he's president. But, you know, at this point, if he gives the nod to Dean Heller, doesn't that cause problems in the Tarkanian camp?
I think it's very tricky. I think, you know, both campaigns are now very supportive of Trump. So it's going to be interesting to see how that continues to play out until June. I think the important part, and all of what Amy said was important, but I think the interesting part was talking about the enthusiasm in some of these circuits where they're talking to sold out crowds. And I think the distraction on who the speakers were is just that. It's a distraction. But if you hear the enthusiasm that are coming out for these fundraisers, because that's what they are. So anytime you sell out, they're successful, regardless of the controversy created. Mm-hmm. And I think that's an important thing to measure against what we're seeing is an enthusiasm increase in Democrats who are winning these kind of special elections across the country. So if we can mobilize a truly kind of debate on enthusiasm, then I think we're going to have a very active, you know, cycle. And if one side is, you know, wins at the enthusiasm race, I think that's going to be what pulls over in November. So it's very interesting to hear that both sides seem to be gearing up for that.
I would agree with Brian on that. And I would just like to add to that. The fact, you know, he said that both seem to be supportive of the president. However, my husband's always been supportive of the president from day one of when he was our official nominee, where Dean Heller was not. Dean Heller actually came out a couple weeks after my husband was in the race and then finally caved and said, oh yeah, I voted for him, and then saw the poll numbers and all of a sudden became his best friend. So his has been more for his own benefit, where Danny has always been there day one of his nomination. But I would agree with Brian that it is interesting to watch the enthusiasm on both sides. And that's very important. I think what's really important to watch as well is what are the Democrats going to run on? Because they really are struggling with finding their top issues and what their platform basically is going to be. What are they going to push forward? Right now, it seems that they're all focused on gun control. Maybe that's going to be their number one issue. I'm not sure. But it seems like they've been floundering, looking for something to move forward together, where the Republicans have really focused on the economy. And it's been very productive. And I think that the soft Democrats have now seen that in their paychecks, too. And they're now coming around.
Do you think that, you know, gun control plays as well in Washoe and Clark as it does, you know, people being anti-gun control, I should say, in rural Nevada, especially. But there's an awful lot of gun owners in Washoe and Clark as well.
I think the West has a different relationship with firearms than many other communities do. And I think it's going to be a different conversation in states like Nevada and the West, where we need to have a public discussion about the role of guns in society. And we should have an honest and frank discussion about that. I think the time when, you know, we hope the few weapons that we can hoard are enough to take on the United States government is a time that's passed. So I think we need to have a discussion on this issue, but I think Nevada is going to be Nevada, and we'll have our own on it.
And that's where we have to leave it. Thank you both very much. Interesting discussion. We'll be right back.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
We have over a decade of archives of Nevada Newsmakers at NevadaNewsmakers.com. We'll see you on the next broadcast.